As businessman Dan Gilbert and others buy buildings in downtown Detroit, we're seeing the prospect of new businesses, new tenants, new people downtown. And Detroit Free Press columnist Nancy Kaffer finds herself wondering, what does that all mean in terms of private security and public space? Nancy, your column this week was titled Watching Dan Gilbert's Watchmen. What got you wondering about downtown security?
Well, I work downtown, and there are cameras all over the place. There are private security guards visible in the downtown area patrolling, and it's an interesting situation, and as far as I know, it's, if not a unique situation, it's a very rare situation to have a private security over such a large public area, and as someone who works in this environment, spends a great deal of time here, it just piqued my interest.
Because as you point out in your pieces, these are private security forces, therefore not publicly accountable the way the DPD would be.
It is very, very standard for private companies to use private security to patrol their own buildings or campuses. That is very normal. What's different here is that because we've got such a sprawling footprint for one company in particular, Dan Gilbert's Quicken Rock Enterprises, they own 75 buildings in Detroit's downtown, and while compact geographic area, it encompasses a good bit of the downtown district. So that is what is unusual, is that there is this private presence patrolling public spaces. There are legal tools that would make public police agencies compel information. They don't work as well as reporters like us wish that they did, but there are those legal mechanisms available that provide some level of oversight and accountability. The difference here is that private security doesn't have to be accountable to anyone except the people who are paying it, and so that leads to questions for me. I want a safe downtown, but I also want the way that we make downtown safe to be transparent and accountable.
So you did start asking questions of owners of downtown buildings, including Quicken Rock Ventures and others. What kind of questions and what did you hear?
Just to be clear, there are about 30 to 35 companies who have significant security forces and command centers in the downtown area. I wanted to know things like, how many people do you have? Do you have patrolling? What hours do they patrol? When do they hand an incident off to the Detroit Police Department as opposed to handling it themselves? How are those decisions made? How many incidents a year or a week or a month are handed off to DPD? These are some pretty basic questions. Mm-hmm. What are your protocols for interacting with members of the public? These are some pretty basic questions that I had. And I asked a couple of different companies that answered. DTE, for example, is very forthcoming and talked to me extensively. This is for the first piece I wrote about how they have progressed. They have made their campus, which is relatively self-contained. I mean, they have one building in that area around it, not a big sprawling footprint.
And they're right across from MGM. So that probably has its own security as well. So
correct.
You're right.
It's correct.
Very.
So DTE has made its own campus so safe that they decided to expand out into the neighborhood by doing things like they now have bait cars that they have wired up with GPS and cameras, and they say completely eliminated in the area around their campus because these bait cars have been very successful. And they work with Wayne State Police in allowing the apprehension of car thieves. So then they move to using bait bikes. Same thing, a bicycle rigged up with tracking equipment. Then they can apprehend bicycle thieves. This is very interesting because this is another step outside of what we think of as the role of a security guard into tactics that are more commonly used by police agencies. Is it a bad thing? I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, but I think it's a thing that we should be talking about.
I think that there are a lot of people that say this makes them good corporate neighbors.
I get a lot of email to that effect. The response to both of these pieces has been pretty much 50-50 among people who say, what is wrong with you? Why are you saying anything but thank you? And the other half of people say, thank you so much for raising these questions. It's been bothering me too. I want us to talk about them. You know, once again, I don't have a problem with people doing the stuff that they need to do to keep their buildings and their employees safe. And I give Dan Gilbert and his companies a lot of credit. They've bought buildings downtown. They've moved companies into those buildings. They've brought workers down here. They've participated in the Live Midtown and Live Downtown incentive programs that encourage people to buy or rent homes in Detroit. They're doing a lot of stuff to build density and to bring people into downtown Detroit. And I think that's fantastic. And I also believe they feel a responsibility to those people. That they've brought these workers downtown and they want to keep them safe. I get that. I completely understand that. And I actually commend them for that. As I've said in every column I've written, I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing it. I'm saying I want to talk about what they're doing, and I want there to be some transparency and accountability.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people would say, hey, we would rather see these owners like Gilbert, and you say there's like 30 to 35 other companies doing security and owning buildings, fixing up and finding tenants for these long abandoned buildings, rather than having those buildings just rotting there. And if private security guards are there, especially considering how cash-strapped and resource-strapped the Detroit Police Department's been, so be it.
Yeah, a lot of people do say that. I'm not one of them. I mean, once again, I don't want them to not provide this security, but I want to talk about where the line is drawn. You know, we have 500 cameras in downtown Detroit, many of which are on or in buildings that he owns. This is a situation that is becoming more normal. In England, for example, they've got cameras all over the place. But it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, the idea that the potential is there for them to be monitored as they go about their business. I mean, let's talk about this. Let's figure out where our comfort zone lies. How comfortable are we really with having private agencies take over for public police agencies? On the face of it, it sounds good, and it sure does solve a problem in the short term. But what kind of long-term problem does that create? Not specifically with regard to Quicken and Rock Ventures.
What kind of answers did you get from these security people, these private security companies, as you talked with so many of them? You got to Quicken and Rock Ventures, but you got to others. So when do they turn it over to the DPD? What do they tell you?
What they've said to me is that anything that rises to the level of a crime, they hand off immediately to DPD or Wayne State, which is some of the some of the companies work with Wayne State Police, which is a public police agency. Anything that rises to the level of a crime, that they instantly alert the police and the police take it over. When I spoke with Quicken, and just to be clear, when I asked companies for this information, some of them were immediately forthcoming. I asked Quicken or Rock, which is the name of the parent company that owns, Quicken is the name people are more familiar with.
Yes.
I asked them over a period of 4 months. I asked these questions repeatedly, and they declined to provide answers until after the first piece came out, when they decided to answer my questions and to give me a tour of their command center. When I was offered this tour of the command center and the opportunity to interview both Matt Cullen and their corporate head of security, what they indicated to me was that in the majority of interactions with the public are initiated by the member of the public or a result of obvious distress, that they tend not to interact with the public unless asked. I'd be interested in hearing from people about whether or not that syncs up with their own experience.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We do remember when there was that graffiti, remember, painted on a wall downtown, and it was Gilbert who put out the call, I want to know who these were, and they found those teenagers from Grosse Pointe. And that was
sure
all
did.
Done internally at Quicken.
That is exactly what happened. They put out the pictures of graffiti people and then were able to apprehend them. There's another thing that I want to mention, that in speaking of Campus Martius, one of the things that happened recently that sort of enhanced my interest in writing about this is that the ACLU has filed a lawsuit alleging that private security guards asked activists who were passing out flyers about the city's bankruptcy and taking in petition signatures to move out of the park. Campus Martius is a space, a green space in the middle of downtown Detroit, seems like a public park, actually operated by a nonprofit organization that has private security that patrols it. The Detroit Riverfront is operated by the Riverfront Conservancy and has private security that patrols it. These are private spaces that feel like public spaces, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a park in the middle of downtown and you have a private security force patrolling it, who is making the decisions about when you see someone who looks like they don't belong there and they're asked to move along? Who makes that choice? Who decides who doesn't look like they belong there, or who is causing a disturbance and who shouldn't be in that space? And who makes those decisions and how those decisions are made is really, really key to the conversation we're having about Detroit's revitalization and who feels comfortable in the city and who the city is for. We need transparency and information about how the way these seemingly public spaces are patrolled and who makes a decision about who gets to use them. When my first piece came out, one of your colleagues, Quinn Kleinfelter, had told a story about being asked to move out of Campus Martius by a private security guard, or asked what he was doing, or told that he couldn't be in the spot that he was in. He's a public radio reporter. I mean, this is the thing that we should be asking. Who's making the call? Why are they making those decisions? And what message does that send about who's welcome in downtown? If you have a private security company dictating how political speech can be made, and this is where it gets complicated, in a space that's operated by a nonprofit, but I think most people regard as a public space, do we really feel comfortable with limiting political speech in the middle of our downtown? This is something the ACLU has filed a lawsuit about, and that's going to shake out in court as to whether or not they had the right to ask these protesters or activists to move. But that's just one of the wrinkles that comes when you have this private security in public or public-seeming space.
Some real interesting food for thought raised by Detroit Free Press columnist Nancy Kaffer in her pieces, Who's Watching the Detroit Watchmen, followed by Watching Dan Gilbert's Watchmen. Always great to talk with you, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.